Hey, I'm Mike Siegel from BigBlueInteractive.com, and joining us live today is Super Scout Dave T. Thomas. Welcome aboard, Dave.
Let me tell you, man, this is going to be a draft, my friend, for the BBI folks. I think that what we saw last year was Jerry Reese finally got himself some intelligence and stopped using that party line, the best available athlete. This is a draft that when you're looking at the talent out there, Mike, you're looking at the talent in this draft where you can't go with that philosophy. You got to start filling needs. This is going to be a draft where more so teams are going to find great value on day three. And they're going to find in day one and two. Anybody that wants to watch the draft on the first day of the draft, either stay glued to your TV or bring your hopper with you, because if you get up to go to the bathroom, you're going to miss a plethora of trades going on out there.
I did a little poking around, Dave, and I learned that you spent a lot of time on broadcasts about two classic football teams, the Packers and the Steelers. And I'm telling you, we feel we're fortunate to have you park in Giants territory this year. We appreciate an old school busy guy like you making the time to talk with us about our favorite team, the New York Football Giants. So,
well, you know me, man. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I bleed blue, and during the summertime, I bleed pinstripes. No matter where I'm living in town, I'm still born and bred.
You grew up on Ocean Parkway, Dave?
Yeah, Joel and I were good old buddies back then. I remember sitting on his porch for hours upon end, just sitting down talking while we were kids. It all got started by my uncle. My uncle Marty Blake came home one day, was on a road trip, and brought these little books. They were American Football League media guides, tiny little things, but it was back in 1964. Boy, did this kid devour those books from cover to cover.
You're going to laugh, Dave, because I grew up on the other side of Prospect Park on Eastern Parkway.
Eastern Parkway. Yeah, that was a good park back then. I tell you, that was one crazy street for us to cross, though. If we made it across, we knew we would survive for the rest of our lives.
So the NFL draft is now officially only a week away. The clock's ticking down. There's all kinds of rumors flying around, Dave. What do you think the Giants need? What are possible fits? And what should we be looking for right after the draft?
Well, if I listen to the BBI readers over there, they consider that Forrest Lamp is Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, big head, small arms. But, you know, I agree with that assessment with the reach, but this kid's probably has the best grabbing and hand punch ability that I've seen of any of the blockers in this draft. You know, I've been polite. I haven't been kicking out Wonderlic scores. And then this morning I wake up, there's the NFL with the Wonderlic scores out there. Garrett Bowles, 9. Cam Robinson, 12. I'm sorry, my offensive linemen have to be the smartest guys on my team. Why? Because they listened to their mother, they ate their vegetables, and they grew to that size rather than be a quarterback and take the beatings. You look at the offensive linemen around the league right now. One thing that with Bowles, and I don't understand, I spent a week up there recently. I spent maybe about 5 weeks in that area during the season. Bowles, to me, is a complimentary tackle. The best blocker on that team was the offensive guard, Asiata. Asiata is the one that made Bowles what Bowles is. You know, people see the size and they get enamored, but I go back and I look at Tony Mandarich. Hey, go back and look at Greg Robinson. The Los Angeles Rams right now are playing Honey Youngman. Take my number two pick, please. They want to get rid of the guy. I need a guy that's quick. I need a guy that's powerful, but I'm not going to be concerned about their arms if they're an intelligent ball player out there. If they're smart enough to get in front of a guy, they're going to block the guy.
Do you have any forecasts to make? I mean, I know you're high on Lamp. And
it all goes down. I tell you, whatever happens in front of them is going to be critical on draft day. I mean, you got John Lynch out there, young gun John Lynch, that's offering number two on the board. You have the Jets sitting at a spot where they're offering the number six pick. They're trying to trade down. The key to this whole draft is going to be a former Giant coach, and that's going to be Tom Coughlin. Because whatever Tommy does at number four, if he takes Fournette, it is going to blow the minds of Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Carolina, which have been trying to scramble to get up. Then you got the Cleveland Browns, who probably are going to turn everything over to a baseball guy and a Met to boot. And this is a guy that's going to be sitting there with the number one and number 12 that's saying, I want Trubisky. If I look, I just sat down with a whole bunch of teams. I went over the quarterbacks in a 2008 class. Mahomes is my highest rated quarterback out of this year's draft. But if I had to compare him to the 2018 class, he comes in seventh in that group. I look at Trubisky, it's another Jared Goff. And everybody's going to say, well, you know, Jared Goff was the first pick in the draft. That's the Rams' mistake. That's not mine. I don't have to watch them on Sunday. Same thing's going to happen with Trubisky. To me, I look at Trubisky, he's going to perform just the way that Jared Goff did.
We've seen plenty of first-round number one draft picks who are quarterbacks bomb.
Well, the whole thing comes down to, it's sort of like the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, if you can't be with the love you can't be with the one you love the one you're with. So if you don't have a great quarterback, you look at this quarterback crop and says, okay, that guy could fit, okay, that guy could fit, okay, this guy could fit. And then 2 days after the draft, this guy can't fit. Then everybody's back out on the road again. Honestly, I see next year's draft 1-2 at quarterback. You got Sam Darnold, who definitely will be the number one guy if he comes out of USC. The kid that I just spent a whole bunch of time up in Wyoming is simply fantastic. Next, Ben Roethlisberger, and that's Josh Allen. However, if I was a GM right now, I'd be sitting there and tanking a season and spending my entire year down at Louisville, because Mr. Jackson down there is going to be the most electrifying thing to step into the league in 2018.
Do you have any forecasts about the wave of June 1st cap cuts around the league and who could help there if the Giants miss filling a position?
Well, you got to look at the positions where they have needs. One is that offensive tackle. Okay, let's say they don't get Lamp or another offensive tackle in the first round. I'd be looking at seeing what's going to happen over at Kansas City. They're trying to redo their line over there. They got Ja Reed. He's making 2.1, but still to them, they consider him a possible cap hit because they just recently signed Mitchell Schwartz. They got a lot of young players on their offensive line, so unless they're going to keep Reed as an insurance policy, this is a guy who's not going to be expensive on the June 1st cuts. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Giants have a little under $9 million left to deal with even after they sign all their rookies. You turn around, let's say you need an edge rusher. One guy I'd be looking at right now because of the Keystone Cops nature are the Cleveland Browns. You got Desmond Bryan out there. He's making $3 million this year. But if you end up cutting him, especially since he missed last year being hurt, this is a guy you could bring in on a veteran's minimum, and he could provide you a quality edge rusher on the edge as a third man coming off the bench.
I know you're scouting around right now for 2018. Can you tell us about some of the rising stars who could enter the NFL next year?
Well, you know, when you start looking at the talent, the first thing you do when you look at that talent is the quarterback crop. And like I said, this is going to be a phenomenal I rival that quarterback crop to the one with Marino and them all back in 1983. You got Donald out at USC. You got Falk, who probably has about 200 yards just coming out of the tunnel before the game goes up at Washington State. Josh Allen, Jackson, who is electrifying down at Louisville. You got Rosen, if he ever gets his act together over at UCLA. And you got a sleeper right down at Pittsburgh, Max Brown, who couldn't unseat Donald at USC, sat out the year, and now he's going to replace Peterman at Pittsburgh.
Sounds, you know, you've given hints about it, but it doesn't sound like we're going to be wanting to go to the bathroom at all during the draft this year, Dave.
No, I see too many trades, and the one guy that's probably going to be the wildest trader on the market is going to be another former Giant, Sean Payton. Payton loves Butler. I see him ending up relenting, trading number 32 back to New England and getting Butler in that deal. But still sitting at number 11, he knows he's not going to find Christian McCaffrey out there, and he's going to have to move up in a draft. The Jets fall into play at that pick. What comes down to is, what could Payton do with McCaffrey? McCaffrey's going to be the consolation prize for anybody that doesn't end up with Fournette. The big kid that's going to be on a big disappointment outside of Reuben Foster might be Cook down at Florida State. A lot of teams are taking him off the board right now. I know he's a violent runner, but off the field, too, he's got a lot of violence in his nature that are scaring a lot of teams.
Yeah, a lot of guys were pretty high on him early on, but I guess they're cooling their jets now a little bit.
Well, you know, you look at this draft, you come up, let's say, in day three and round four. You got the Williams boys, the one at BYU and the one at Utah. You got Brian Hill over at Wyoming. Come up in round five, if you need a short yardage guy, James Conner is ideal for you. If you need a big back, there's some great big backs that'll be out there in day three. If you need some scat backs, you got Donnell Pumphrey sitting at San Diego State, who is like another Danny Woodhead. You got Itavius Mathers over at Middle Tennessee. There's a lot of complimentary backs out there, and if you look around the NFL right now, not too many teams have a feature back. They usually go with a backfield by committee.
So do you really think that Cincinnati and Carolina are going to be in any way successful in trying to leapfrog Coughlin?
The only way that they may be able to do that is to entice Chicago. I don't think that they're going to put enough on the table to entice John Lynch with the number two. Unfortunately for John, John may end up getting stuck with the pick himself for the simple reason. In any draft, generally, if you're trading up, you're trading up for a quarterback. None of these quarterbacks are worth the number two pick. Hell, none of these quarterbacks are really worth the number 32 pick in this draft. So that's a dilemma that's being presented by the teams that want to move down. Now, the teams that want to move down is going to cause, how can I put, a ripple effect in this draft. When we come up in that final third of round one, we could have as many as 7 or 8 out of the last 10 picks being defensive backs because everyone is going to start loading up then. The reason what this comes, everybody does things in bunches. So once somebody takes one guy at a position, everybody starts panicking and saying, I better get one before there's nothing left. Unfortunately for the Giants, in an ideal world, if this was an ideal world for the Giants, they'd have a legacy in their secondary by taking Jamal Adams. People don't remember his father was the 19th pick in the draft back in 1985 by Big Blue.
Are you hearing anything juicy about the Cowpokes?
They want Tyus Bowser, and they are trying to do everything that they can. I just got off with the people over at the Cardinals this morning, and they said they were on with Dallas for more than 2 hours last night. Dallas wants to move up, and they figure that they got to get up into the top dozen to get this guy. Detroit covets him. I tell everybody, if they end up doing this and Reuben Foster will probably fall into the teens, it could lead to probably the best linebacker in this draft still sitting out there when the Giants pick, and that's T.J. Watt. I know people say, well, you know, he played defensive end, he played a little.
There's a bunch of good linebackers and edge rushers up there. Who's the first linebacker that's going to go in the draft this year?
I before he came out and said, hey, look what I did into my P cup, it would have been Reuben Foster. But right now, it's probably going to come down to either Bowser or Watt. You know, people are talking about Cunningham over at Villanova, but I got a granddaughter that could do better in the bench. You know, I looked at film of Cunningham, and I start citing Peggy Lee. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? I mean, if this is the guy that's going to come in, you're going to take him round one in Big Blue. You're only going to get a poor man's Michael Boley anyway.
But who are you hearing that the Giants like?
That's what I'm talking about. They like him. They like T.J. Watt. They love Bowser, but Bowser's not going to be there. They're pretty impressed with Jordan Willis, but I don't think Jordan Willis is going to be around in round two. I think round two is going to be where they get that tight end of the future. It's either going to be they're either going to go down and take themselves a Vernon Davis type, we're going with Engram, or they're going to go out and get baby Gronk and head over to Ashland and take Adam Sheehan.
Nothing wrong with that. We'd love to have a great tight end.
I could get by with Engram for the simple situation of blue-collar types I got at tight end right now. They're pretty effective blockers. I'm not worried about Engram blocking. I want to get Engram out there the way that Jordan Reed moves. I want to get out there the way that Davis did during his prime when he was over at San Francisco. That's what Engram brings to the table. This guy could be a tie changer, especially for Eli. I don't care if you got Eric Flowers or Joe Blow at left tackle. If I got to move the chains, 10 yards, I want Engram out there as my man catching the ball for me.
I hear you. He is an exciting catcher, no doubt about that. But,
and
you know,
I look too, you know, they're talking about Marshall. Oh, we got Marshall, we got this. I still see them adding to the wide receiving unit. One guy that's really impressed them is that big kid out of Northern Illinois who they think could be another Brandon Marshall, Kenny Golladay. The thing with Marshall, what I look at Marshall, Marshall could be good on the field, but he also has himself a lot of ball concentration lapses. In the locker room is where I'm worried. My God, could you imagine him, Beckham, and if they would have ended up signing Martellus Bennett in that locker room?
Bennett, he could be pretty wacky.
security. Yeah, then all they had to do was add Sheldon Richardson, and we could add a tag team match.
Dave, I really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us to entertain us and give us some of your thoughts about the draft and about our team. And it's been wonderful having you make such a great appearance on our website. I mean, you've been doing yeoman's work. I've been getting a lot of feedback from the guys behind the scenes, and they're really enjoying what you've been posting and having you around. And
I'm ticking off the other people, though, because this year I decided that the BBI was the only site I was going to go on, and BBI is the only site where I'm going to be posting scouting reports as the selections go for the Giants. How can I put it? I'm home here, man. You know, the three things you always need in life, you need a great woman, you need yourself a great mechanic, and you need yourself a great hairstylist. If you've seen my hair, obviously I don't need a hairstylist, so, hey, you're the last things I got.
Well, I want to thank you once again, Dave, and I hope you have a very successful trip out there on the West Coast, and we look forward to hearing more stuff from you in the future.
Fingers crossed, guys. Remember, Thursday is going to be fun, but the critical thing is going to be Saturday. Stay glued. See what the Giants do on day three.
That's the nitty-gritty, isn't it?
That's when a scout makes his money. Day one and two, that's the general manager and head coach. They're the ones that end up on the unemployment line. But if you blow it on day three, if you blow it on the street free agents, look at the success the Giants had last year with their street free agents. That's where you make the team. Death is critical in this league.
I hear you, buddy. I hear you. And it's very true. I mean, when you hit on a couple of undrafted free agents, it's like having a bonus round.
Well, I think you'll be seeing a couple of more Fighting Irish coming in off the street this year. That's just a little hint for Giant fans.
Well, thank you. That's interesting. All right. I am going to cut you off here and let you get back to what you've been doing. And,
cool,
and once again, we appreciate it a lot, Dave. Thanks very much.
No problem. If you want to do something after the draft, just touch base with me, you know, the Monday after the draft. I'm going to be around that week, but then after that, I head over to Europe. I got to start scouting the Eurobasket for the NBA.
All right. We'll keep that in mind. Monday it is.
Take care, buddy.
Bye, Dave.